You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Welcome to The Kylo Show. Here we are today, back with the boys, Ben and Christian. We are still wrangling this thing about being manly and being a masculine man. What the heck? How do we do that?
Closing out the masculine series today.
There we go.
Yep.
This is it.
It's been fun.
We're in the final stretch. And today, we're essentially just kind of drilling into how do we apply to our lives in God. How do we fuel up as a man in our disciplines, our experiences, our approach to scripture, to prayer, worship, the presence of God. What is it that fills us up as men? Because it's probably different at some level than it is maybe for the ladies, but we kind of throw it out there sometimes like it's all the same. Mm-hmm. Like here's three easy steps. Every human, this should work. And you're like, I think it's a little different for guys. What do you think?
Totally. Yeah, I'm excited to get into it. I think today's even to be a little more practical. So if you've been listening and going, man, this is hitting the spot. This feels right. I agree with this. And you're wondering, okay, I think I have some ideas on what I might be doing moving forward, but I'm still a little bit unsure. Last episodes, we talked about doing your job. I think today feels a lot about like, we're going to start listing out some job descriptions, mm-hmm. and some clarity around your job. And when you get that clarity, then there's just an opportunity for you to get the job done. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting.
Yeah, it helps to know.
It does help to know.
I think just even dialing down that question you just asked, men and women and how we do it differently, mm-hmm. in our relationship to God. I think even look at my own marriage, we are so different in how we connect with God and how we find Him in the great days and the hard days. Mm-hmm. Just looking at even Brittany and I, we discover that in different ways and get filled up in such different ways that it's not necessarily a picture of every couple, but it's probably a little key into just the difference between how men do it and how women do it. Mm-hmm. So we can get into that more in a minute, but looking at my marriage, mm-hmm. we are very different in every way.
Yeah, and it may not even be gender specific as much as it is just design.
Yeah.
Like how do you relate?
Yep.
What is your relationship style? Because that's very much is how it's going to show up in your relationship with God.
Yep.
Some people are super contemplative, and inward and would love to go spend 20 days in silence on the top of a mountain. And some people would think that's solitary confinement and they're trying to break me, So what works for you guys?
Well, just to that point, I mean, before you started talking, I was thinking about, we've talked a lot in the whole Kylo world about self-awareness. Mm-hmm. So I think part of this does start with, and we'll get into more of this in a minute, but just the awareness of how you're wired, who you are, and how you experience the world. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's, Brittany will kick me out of the house sometimes with kindness and love, saying, something's going on with you, you need some help. Go find Jesus, which in our marriage, what that means is get outside and go for a bike ride, go for a run, do something outside that something comes alive in me. And when I get out of the normal routine, the house, the chores, the different things, mm-hmm. like I find an experience with God out there that I'm having a hard time doing in my bed, in my bedroom. Mm-hmm. So even that awareness that we have, and I'm very aware of it, and she'll just the relationship and trust that we have, she can now look at me and say, God's out there for you. Mm-hmm. Go find Him. Like, you're right. When I get out there and do something dangerous or exciting or fresh, something happens to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you as a man, when, like you said, like the, there's no like both genders are seeking God in their relationship. And but I think for me, as I hear that question and how we're different, and I think it actually brought up a little bit of the frustration sometimes I see. Like I remember in church, a pastor saying that the least attended day or one of the least attended days at church was Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
I got so upset.
Mm.
It was like, I'm upset enough to do something. Like, let's make this like the counter move. Like, how many fathers can we get to show up on Father's Day? I still have that in my back pocket. I think it's something we should do. But going back to my job, my role as a man in my household is to follow God, to submit my life to Him. And part of that is because, you know, as a leader in my household, I want that, the transformation, the character it builds, the things that it does for me blesses my wife. It also ministers to her. Same thing with my kids. Like, I purposefully, you know, I grew up in a church and none of the guys sang. So it's like, I don't think guys sing. It's like, well, what is that? It's like, well, maybe they got taught, or maybe it's fear of man. I'm a bad singer, this or that. And it's like, oh, no. My boys, anytime there's an opportunity in this worship song, I sound horrible, but mm-hmm. they're going to see me sing out loud because I worship my Father, because He's worthy of it. Mm-hmm. And guess what, boys? This is what men do.
Mm-hmm.
And Dad prays, and you pray. And so, you know, that is, you know, as a man, one of those things of like, you know, being the head of the whole house. And we've talked about in other podcasts how some men use that as permission to bully the family around into getting their way of doing things. And it's like, no. It's more about leading in this, those examples I was sharing as far as like how we do relationship with God. Let me show you how Dad does it. I want my boys catching me, you know, when they wake up, I'm in there reading my Bible, because, hey, this is what men do. We spend time with the Lord. Mm-hmm. And they feel that on me, and they experience it and go like, hey, I love my dad. I love how he is. Like, there's something he's doing. He's better for it. Like, I'm super interested in that now. Or at least that's the hope and the goal right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't do it just for them to catch me do it. But at the same time, I'm very aware that part of my, outside of my personal benefit from chasing after the Lord, there's also a ministry happening in my house. Mm-hmm. And my family is my most important ministry. And as a man, I take that very seriously. And all guys should.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
so good.
Part of the leadership role in your house really is that, you know, for your kids to watch and learn. And I remember doing some marriage counseling one time with this couple, and she was saying, I just don't see you leading our family. And he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, I used to wake up in the morning and I would see my dad in his chair with his Bible on his lap, and his eyes would be closed or he would be turned around on his knees at that chair.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my dad mm-hmm. being a spiritual leader in our home. Because the husband was thinking, what, you want me to do a church service in our house? What does this even mean?
Yeah.
And she was a little girl paying attention.
So cool.
Yeah.
And it rested in her heart that my dad is pursuing God as a man of God. That's what it looks like right there.
And that's that thing of provision, protection, connection. We've talked about it being more than about the money you bring in or your physical ability to protect your family. It's like, her heart, you know, as a wife comes out, sees her husband, and it feels protecting. Like, oh my gosh, he's protecting our family. Mm-hmm. He's providing for our family. He's leading our family. It does something for your woman when you do that.
And his chair is in the living room all day long, and the Bible is on the table next to it, and his glasses. And every time that little girl walks through the house, she sees this place of worship and dependence on God. It's not from him going, honey, I'm dependent on God and I worship God all day. No, it's none of that. It's just his behavior, his consistent behavior sets a standard and a tone for their environment.
Yeah.
I think the curiosity that's built from a child watching dad do that is when they get curious, you know, we've talked a lot about the law of first mention, You know, so kids are going to get curious and then go find an answer somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I, when they get curious about God, I want them to come find Dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's go find Dad and find out why he does what he does. Why is he protecting these things? I mean, that's been my experience with my kids is they get curious about a verse or about, you know, why does this happen? Just the other day with Lincoln, we started getting curious about how we share our lives with Jesus with a waitress. You know, there's just these experiences happening, but the curiosity is coming just because of the continued experience of watching Dad protect us and do it. So it's awesome. I love that.
And you do such a great job of doing that everywhere. Totally. I mean, you're praying for people at Starbucks, but what, you know, Lincoln and your daughters too are seeing is like, oh, Dad just doesn't do church on Sunday. He doesn't show up on Sunday, and that's where God lives, is in our church. Dad seems to be talking with him and praying and communicating and talking with other people about him all the time, anywhere, everywhere we go, which is, like, you know, you were saying, Danny, is not a sit down discipleship bullet point, let me teach you a lesson. It's just it's the outflow of a man who's submitted to God, who's still burning, who's on fire. Way to go, Ben.
Come on.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I live with this guy. And It's nonstop. And so his kids really are, you know, they're folded into the faith. You know, like there's a faith that is practiced, and it's not just you telling them what they should do or, you know, letting Banning tell them what they should do or whatever. Tell that story about Lincoln and the waitress the other day.
Yeah. So we my son has Taekwondo. So we are in Taekwondo season right now. We're doing it all the time. So Brent and I took him to his last testing or last practice before he has his big testing. So we're kind of celebrating. So we go stop at this little diner for dinner. And Brittany looks at him. She made me laugh with the way she set this up. She says, Lincoln, I'm going to ask you a question that your dad asked me all the time, which was, let's get a word for this waitress. So he's like, what does that mean? And so we're talking through it. And essentially, we're just saying, just ask God the first thing you hear that he's saying to this lady. And so he's like, well, she's kind. I said, okay. I actually said to him, dig a little bit deeper. What else is the Lord saying? And he said, she's a really good woman. I'm like, okay, let's go with that. And so Brittany got a word. And then I was kind of asking the Lord as well the same thing. So we're all directing our heart towards this woman. She comes back over. Hey, what's your name? Hey, I have a funny question for you. So Brittany starts it out. So she just says, hey, I just had this feeling that you were the oldest child in your home, and you felt like you had to really take care of your siblings, and you worked really hard. And she's like, yeah, that's all true. Yes, I was the oldest. Yes, I felt like that. And I just feel like God's paying attention, and he's so proud of you. And you can see her face starting to change. Like, she's almost welling up with tears right now. And then she looks at Lincoln, Brittany does, and says, Lincoln, do you have something for her? And he says, I just feel like God thinks you're a really good woman. And now she's even more welling up. I said, you know, I was sitting here as well, and I felt like there's something with your sister. Before Brittany asked, Brittany said, do you have brothers and sisters? I have two sisters and a brother. I said, before Brittany asked that question, I was going to ask you if you have a sister who's struggling. She said, yeah, she's actually having a really hard time right now. So I went through this, and she looks at Brittany and says, can I give you a hug? And now she's crying. She's just crying, hugging Brittany, the waitress. And we're in this moment like, oh my gosh, it's Lincoln. You see what just happened? Oh my gosh, this is amazing. So we're going through this moment. She leaves. She comes back and she says, this is my auntie. We work together. And the auntie has clearly been crying. And she says, you have no idea what just took place here. This niece of mine, I just moved her out from Texas. And she came from a really hard situation. And she was not doing well. And what you just said to her, what Lincoln said to her, and what you guys shared with her is the perfect timing. You have no idea what's just happening. And this auntie's just crying and crying and crying. So I think we gave her a hug again, and she's just overwhelmed with, like, what just took place? And she left. Lincoln and Brittany went to the bathroom. I was paying, and it was the auntie talking to me, and she's like, the situation she came from was so dire, and she was going downhill. Since she's been here, she's taken a whole different trajectory, and she's going uphill again, and this was just so helpful. And now she's crying again. So just watching this family get infusion of heaven because we just took a simple moment, really just a model for our son, like, buddy, there's something inside of you mm-hmm. that the world needs.
Yeah.
And it's the dad in the chair, it's the moment at the diner, it's the you know, there's just so many moments like this, but it was such a sweet, sweet moment for my son to leave and go, that was cool. But he looks at us at the very end and goes, how do you guys know that stuff about her? I'm glad you asked, because he's curious.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so now we're talking through, yeah. Buddy, this is just practice
yeah.
of listening to God. You can do the same thing. You actually did.
Yeah.
You heard God speaking today.
Which, it's beautiful. I mean, I haven't heard that story yet. That's awesome.
It's a couple of days old.
It's a couple of days old.
But like you said, you tied it back to like the dad in the chair, and even that on the top, when we were talking about knowing your job, it's like, that little girl who saw her dad understood the job description. So when her husband was acting out of the job description, not fulfilling the role, it's like, oh, I know your role and you're not performing there. So here's some feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then, you know, you got Lincoln over here and, you know, going back to the job description, like, hey, we talk to God. We listen for that still small voice. And here's the other thing we do. This is what courage looks like.
Yeah.
And courage isn't just, you know, doing something physically scary, some of it. Courage is giving a word to someone you don't know and stepping out in faith, you know, which we spell R-I-S-K, and he sees his mom and dad do it. And like you said, it creates that curiosity, and it's like, that's marking on I call him Link Dog, on Link Dog, on Lincoln, you know, where, like I said, it's like, oh, this is so cool. This is so, and he, knowing Lincoln, he's going to start exercising because he loves to love on people, that boy.
Yeah, so, you know, the takeaway really is that we trust that God's speaking to us.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that we're talking to Him. We're making our requests known. We're coming into the throne room of grace boldly. Yeah. We believe that there's a conversation here,
yeah.
And then we practice in that faith in our time with Him. You know, so it's not just a checklist of I read the Bible, I sang a song. Even though I'm a terrible singer, I have inflicted pain on myself and those people who could hear me, and you know, I've checked the good disciple boxes. It's like, yeah, I mean, really, the experience of Jesus with his disciples is a beautiful illustration of a relationship with God.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. So. We who did not walk around with Jesus all day long, we believe is even greater than the disciples' faith.
Yeah.
You know, that's what the Bible says, and that's absolutely right. We have to jump into practice as men courageously, I have a relationship with Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
And let me tell you about it.
Yeah, totally. And I know we got to probably keep moving on, but it reminds me of your preacher talking about, you know, your relationship with God, are you a son in the living room?
That's right.
Or are you in the courtroom being judged?
Mm-hmm.
And when we make that shift to being a son, a deeply loved son, it unlocks the relationship and not just the checkbox of tasks of I'm being a good disciple.
Yeah.
It radically changes relationship. And those checkbook tasks become less about your ability to be disciplined and to you know, defer pain, and more about this is the natural outflow of my life because I'm a deeply loved son and I love doing things to make my father happy.
Yeah.
And if there's other podcasts, they can go, or Kyle University, we got people doing that transformation all day long.
There he goes. But, he's dropping it right there. You know, the place where I actually have to check myself before I wreck myself is that place right there, which is, am I a dearly loved son coming into a living room with a father who loves me and wants nothing more than connection with me? And am I tending to the connection issue, if there is one? Have I grieved him? You know, have I quenched his spirit? Do I have some repentance and reconnection to cultivate in my time with him? Or am I on parole? And constantly coming in as a criminal to someone who can punish me, and protecting myself deeply. The deepest part of me is trying to protect myself from that punishment, and that self-awareness of feeling unworthy, like I am unworthy of love, and being in this courtroom proves it. Yeah. Like, who would love a criminal? Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus does. That's because he's Jesus, you know, but nobody else, you know, and I don't even love myself. I can't even get there myself. And that's what keeps us in that courtroom.
Yeah.
So the belief system shift in understanding what Jesus did, which was Jesus made a way to the Father.
Yeah.
And previous to that, all mankind knew was criminals before a judge.
Yeah.
So this is why it's so valuable and so important to have a relationship with Jesus, knowing that that is what puts me, like he had, access to his Father.
Yeah.
And my designer, the one who built me to fellowship with him, to enjoy him, for him to enjoy me, to dream together, to happen.
Yeah.
Like, Daddy, what do you want to do today?
Yep.
Like every man's dream really is to have a great relationship with his Father.
Yeah. I think the piece of me right here in this conversation that shows up, it's the same thing, I think, but it just, I would word it differently. I have to earn my seat at that table, and I have to be good enough. And so the checklist you're talking about is, okay, did I finish the checklist today? If not, maybe I'm on the outside still. And, you know, the story that illustrates it best, and the Lord's been bringing this to life lately, is it's the old brother and the prodigal son.
Mm-hmm.
The prodigal son comes home, and, you know, the whole story happens, and it's amazing, incredible, and the grace and the way back in. But the older brother's like, what about me? I never got a party. You never did this. And the father says, essentially, you always had this. This was always available to you. And I think this actually influences our home. It directly influences how we parent, how we relate to our wives, how we just all this stuff, how we show up at work, if that belief system isn't solved. That I actually have to earn something to receive God's love. I have to be good enough or do enough. And when that's the belief system directing me, it just feels dangerous and not helpful. Mm-hmm. You know, there's things to be done, and there's a mission we're on. But when that's tied to whether I'm loved or not, that's not helpful.
Yeah, it reminds me of like my journey. It's, you know, of like someone said this word one time, and sometimes you take it for granted when you know something, you forget what it's like not to know it. Mm-hmm. But there was a time when I didn't know it, and so I'm taking the opportunity right now because someone really awesome at church said something about orphan spirit, and I was like, what the heck's orphan spirit? Like, what is that? And they start talking through this thing, which is like, oh, I've committed my life to Jesus and I'm following God, but I'm doing it like someone on parole in a courtroom. I'm doing it like the older brother who's in the house, whose son, this could have been yours all along, but I don't know what your deal is. You're not partaking in it. Like, I remember I heard someone talk about it, and the church was doing a training. You know, it's a Jesus Culture Sacramento. They're doing a training. And I remember wanting that so bad, because if you're listening to this and you're explaining a relationship with the Father, if yours doesn't look like this, you need it to, and you want it to. And that's what I heard, and it was like, I want that. Mm-hmm. I want a friend.
Yeah.
I want a dad. I want someone, you know. And so, you know, I remember telling my wife, like, hey, they're doing this training at so-and-so time. I know it's hard on the schedule, and it's a little bit, you know, drive, but I'm going, and I'd love for you to come too, but I am going. And I'm getting healed of this orphan spirit. I don't know what it is, but I think I got it, and it's going away. And, you know, I show up, and Kate Bagley is leading us through something. And I still remember one of the, Brian came over and handed me a box of tissues and was like, here you go. I was like, what's this for? He's like,
you'll find out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And boom, you know, but, you know, took me through a prayer, you know, was going, and it, that night, I felt like that night, something in my relationship with the Lord shifted and changed, and I was like, oh, this is what it is to be a son.
Mm-hmm.
This, like, I've been doing it not this way. And mind you, I had some great breakthroughs and some really awesome stuff before this moment, but it took it to another level, which just quickly reminds me of another story about how we're working on ourselves, of my son Josiah. My son Josiah, he's 10 now, but at the time he was 4, we signed up for basketball camp. And, you know, he's doing really well in basketball camp. And I'm in there thinking about, like,
NBA,
him hitting game-winning shots at the buzzer, dunking on people. And I got this whole thing mapped out. I'm like, all right. You know, and so next little camp comes around, and then I go to Josiah, and I said, hey, buddy, we're going to sign you up for basketball. You excited? And he looked at me with this face. This is when I should have known he was a D on the disc profile. He looked at me his face, and he was so confused. And he said, why would I do that? I was like, why would you play basketball? Didn't you have fun? You were really good. And he goes, yeah, but I already know it. I go, what do you mean? He goes, I did the camp. I know all of basketball. I go, oh, no, son. You don't know all of basketball. You learned to dribble a little bit.
Nailed it.
But, like, I'm making this point to say, like, as we're growing ourselves, like, for me in that breakthrough moment, it's like, oh, huge breakthrough. Oh, my gosh, I'm a son. I'm still learning about what it means to be a son. And I have to be constantly growing myself for eternity. I'll be finding out what the Father's like and finding out who I am in him. And so anyways, I brought up this whole point is if you're listening and saying, I want a friend in Jesus. I want a father who I love running to in hard times and in great times. You got to go. If you feel like there's any inkling in Orphan Spirit, you need to start researching. Look out, find some materials. I don't know if there's any good ones come to mind. I don't know if people know Kate. But
well, I mean, John Eldridge wrote a book called Fathered by God.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
And that one's probably just a great place to start because this is, it's a journey. I remember hearing a message one time about how the kingdom of heaven, you know, is... You come in through the door of Jesus, right? So the path is narrow, and there's a door. You enter that door, and the kingdom of heaven is bigger than anything you've ever thought of in your life. You're just like, where am I? Oh, my gosh. And you pursue wherever you're headed, and you come to another level. You know, you come to another door. You open that door, and... it's crazy. Like, what's going on? It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger each time you hit. I like to think of it as people think they hit a brick wall. Like, no, if you look up, it's actually a step. You just climb up and you take the next level. Nice. And you keep going till you hit this brick wall again. You're like, wow, this is the end. I hit the end. Like, nope, look up. They reach up, crawl up. That's a step. You're going level to level to level. And I think this is, you know, the thing about ourselves in the kingdom is it is a perpetual journey of becoming more like Jesus. And he's infinite, right? So it never ends. So working it out with who my father is and then working it out with who am I as his son, when we go to interact with other people, that's what we export.
Yeah.
So the way Jesus put it was, well, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. Yeah. Well, that's true for every one of us. Yeah. If you've seen me, you're going to find out who my Father is. And it may not be the Father. It may not be the right one. Mm-hmm. It may be an anti-father. I'm trying to not be my dad. I'm going to try really hard to not be my dad. And who's that? I don't know. I don't know who that is, but I'm not going to be anything like him. Well, that's usually a bitterness reaction to some hurt, you know, and you're just on a campaign to disprove your dad. And before you know it, you're going to be your dad. You're going to be exactly like him because you didn't have an example of who you were becoming. You just had a reaction to what you're not going to do. So guess what you looked at all day? You looked at and became like what you looked like. Yeah. Looked at.
We were talking yesterday briefly just about a friend, and the way you're describing it, Danny, is you said something like, this guy probably has a wound that's become infected. Mm-hmm. Until he actually heals that wound, everything he does, every interaction, every conversation, every perspective is coming through that lens of the wound.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of man's journey as well, is every man probably has a wound somewhere. If it's not healed yet, it needs to get healed. Mm-hmm. And so letting people in as well to help actually search that thing out, the Fathered by God book, like just what's the resource that's going to help you move closer and closer towards freedom.
Because
it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Mm-hmm. You know, it's actually to walk in freedom and experience that so we can do these things that we're talking about is export something that people want to be around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you got a wound that's infected too, it starts to smell. Meaning like the other people around you are like, dude. And you're probably nose blind to it because you're happy with the infection. Maybe you don't even see there. Mm-hmm. And people are like, dude, this is disgusting. It looks gross, smells gross. I do not want to be around you. And that's how other people experience you when you, you know, you laid it out, Danny, of like, I want to know I need to understand who the Father is and who I am in Him. And that does so much for how people experience me.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's not an act I have to put on, but more of a character that comes out of me because this is when you squeeze me, this is what comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had a fun example, not so fun for Danny, but it's a small thing, but I was on a Zoom call with you the other day and you got stung by a bee.
Good Lord.
Right on the call.
Got
stung on the bee and I see him react and it definitely hurt, but I forget what he said, but it was something, you know, it was something very G-rated. And I was like, oh, I don't know what I would have said if I got stung right there. But it was funny because there was a moment right there, going back to how people experience you and others, like it ministered to me. It was like, oh, like in moments of pain, when you're not at your best, when you're getting squeezed, hopefully the Father comes out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully what's inside comes out. And so if you're filled with your Father, you know, in those tough situations where someone needs a man to show up, this is your job. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a hard spot. I mean, your family needs a man to show up and your family's getting squeezed. Finances are tight. There's one of the kids is sick. Something's happening and you're getting squeezed. Who's showing up in those moments? Mm-hmm. And if you're doing a good job with your Father and yourself, you're going to show up and put your dad on display and everyone around you is going to benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, if you squeeze an orange, orange juice comes out, right? You know, if you squeeze a grape, grape juice comes out. You squeeze the lemon. You know, it really is the fruit of your life.
Yeah.
Is on display in the squeeze.
I think we just discovered a whole another episode.
Yeah. And so it's so true. It's so true that, you know, in that caught off guard, that hurt like crazy. I'm kind of pissed. You know, like that little bee caused that much pain. I mean, right in the hinge of my pinky, man. Just, I don't know if that's a super tender spot. My hand swelled up like a boxing glove for 2 days. Yeah, it was.
That's not an exaggeration.
It was crazy. Like that little guy, and I felt bad. You know, I just didn't see him. I stuck my hand on my leg, and this little honeybee just said, come on, bro. You want some of me? Here. And he left a stinger in my hand.
Well, you handled it well.
Yeah. Awesome.
And I see that your hand, I just noticed your hand's back to normal
size. My hand's, it's getting there. Awesome. All right. Well, let's land this for now and we'll bounce into some questions.
If you're ready for a life-changing transformation, head on over to KyloUniversity.com now and start your journey towards a more fulfilling future. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Your transformation begins at Kylo University. Visit KyloUniversity.com today.
Okay, we're back. We're going to jump into a couple questions real quick. It won't take too long, but first question. Is there one habit that is most important to have as a man, maybe besides bathing?
Oh, which seems to show up later in life. Having a son, learning.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Christian.
I was going to say, for me, it's making sure I'm tapped into the Father. Mm-hmm. It's like, do a good job with that and all these things. All these things will be added to you. Like everything else goes better.
Mm-hmm.
And right, because without God, I create hell. That's what I'll do on my own. I'll make hell in my own life. I'll make hell for those around me when I'm on my own. But when I'm submitted to Him, my life goes way better. So it's like, okay, if that is the number one most important thing, that's what I'm doing. So for me personally, I've written out some things of like, what habits and what things can I do to help me do that? Because, you know, there's a times when you have to hear the message, God is good, and it feels like a revelation again. You're like, oh, that's right, God is good. What am I doing? Oh, I'm doing that thing where I'm doing it by myself again. Mm. So it's like, if I find myself doing that too much, I know I've gotten out of the flow. So I'm a schedule guy. Let's set up a system for this. And
yes, you are.
Yep. And it's like, and one of the most helpful thing in there for me personally, the most helpful thing in there is people podcast books. Mm-hmm. People podcast books.
PPB. So,
yeah.
That's three different things.
Yeah. But what I'm talking about is there's something, what I learned from me is like, when people, it's mostly like, am I listening? Am I going to church and hearing from pastor? Am I listening to other podcasts? And am I putting myself around people like Danny and Ben, other people around me who are going to call me back to this standard that I'm supposed to live in, especially when I'm wayward. So like, I'm going to have a bunch of people who hold me accountable to making sure I'm spending my life to God. And then podcasts and books. I am an information machine. I love info. I love learning. I love growing. Mm. So it's like, oh, I'm going to do this passion I have. I'm always going to be listening to podcasts and reading books. So I have, hey, I need to have a steady inflow and digest of books and podcasts. They're going to challenge me. And we talked about earlier, Fathered by God, John Eldridge. I forgot. That was totally a required reading for me. Mm-hmm. That goes, oh my gosh, look what's happening in my life after I'm sobbing through, you know, these prayers he has you go through where you're just, I don't know, becoming a son. Mm-hmm. And so for me, you know, top level is I got to stay submitted to God. And then personally, I find like, what are the things that I need and boundaries in place to do that well? And the most helpful for me is people, podcast, books.
Okay.
Keep me in it.
There you go. I think the habit you just said was learning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's totally it.
Yeah. Boom. Yeah.
Thanks.
You just watched Danny's skill on display right there. Yeah. I heard all those words. How about this one word?
Yeah. This is a session for me today.
Well, Christian kind of covered it all that I was thinking. Mm. But if I was to capture one thing out of lots of things, because you captured it. But I think I was going to say, because you started talking about God first, which does feel like a really important habit. I think the thing for me, the next layer right there is keeping men close to me. Because what men do for me is when they know me, when they see me, when they understand where I'm actually at and how I'm doing, they keep me in the game. So, you know, the podcast, people and books, was that the order? I got it right?
Yeah, more or less.
People, podcasts, and books.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, PPP. Yeah. Come on.
Books, podcasts, people. So
it's different ways can we say it?
I was reading a book recently and I was like, I didn't want to read this book, but I'm so glad I did because it's creating different ideas in my head. But for me, it really, and I'm such a relational guy, it's just how I'm wired. So if I'm not doing well, I'm actually looking to remove that stuff out of my life because I just want to isolate. That's what we do. So I think the habit of keeping that close to me is what creates the momentum and movement and health in my life that I wouldn't have otherwise. So it's the inflow of the Father and then keeping men and brothers close to me that are like, Ben, get back in the game, dude. What are you doing? Hmm. That's why I'm talking to you. So,
brothers.
Yeah.
Got to have brothers.
Yeah.
Awesome. I don't know if this is a habit or a characteristic or both, but I think of self-control. Mm. I feel like the habit that a successful man has got to practice is telling himself what to do and doing it in season and out, deep, 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 so that you can direct your anger, can direct your hurt, you can direct your love, you can direct your fear. I mean, I think the mature love side of a man is the fruit of self-control.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Being able to direct himself, no matter what others do, no matter what life brings, no matter whether you feel like you're the smartest guy in the room or not, telling yourself what to do and doing it feels like the best muscle you can develop in your heart over time, so that you can always feel like there's wisdom accessible to you. Yeah. Like, you know what? There's some wisdom here. If you'll just shut your mouth, if you'll just shut your mouth right now, there's wisdom right there. You know, if you'll just listen right now, you're going to hear what you need to hear. If you'll just wait patiently right here, you're going to get your opportunity. If you'll just tell yourself what to do and do it, you're going to look more like Jesus in just a second.
Yeah. So good. It's real good.
Is it, I want to kind of sit there for a minute because that feels like such a big piece, and it's probably a lot of people listening that would relate to that, but I think just the awareness of I have the ability and actually the requirement from God and all the tools I need to do a good job there. And it's I think often the damage that men create and, you know, what we call toxic masculinity or whatever it's called out there is often connected to men not knowing how to control themselves, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, or just being weak at it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, just being really weak. That muscle's really weak because I'm offended by everything. I feel scared so fast. I have those muscles are really strong. Mm. Like offense is a muscle. Alarm or fear is a muscle. Mm. You know, so if you develop that all the time, you are easily you're easily manipulated.
Yeah.
You're easily controlled.
That's great.
Because you've exerted so much survival into the wrong muscle.
Yeah, it's reminded me of something I heard Dave Ramsey say all the time. It's like he says a grown up, but we'll say a man is the same. But a man devises a plan and follows it. Mm-hmm. Children do what feels good. Mm-hmm. You know, and essentially what we're talking about there is self-control.
Yeah.
And if it's a muscle, you know, maybe take us to the gym, Danny. What do we do? If there's a guy out there who's going like, okay, that's me. I'm juiced up. My offense muscle, my whatever muscle is really strong. I need that thing to go away. I need that to atrophy. I need to build the self-discipline muscle. What's their first workout?
Well, you got to get some Arnold Schwarzenegger posters, you know, and hang them up around your room. You know, you got to have something to look at. You got to have a goal, right? So if you're ever going to get a plan, it's because you're going somewhere.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so you got to have a goal. You got to have, I keep saying this, but Christ-likeness, being like Jesus has to be my goal or something else will be.
Yeah.
You know, I'll try to be my pastor or something, you know, something stupid. Like, no, don't do that. You know, but that's that. I mean, that's what ends up happening when you don't know Jesus.
Yeah.
You'll try to be like somebody who you think is like Jesus.
Yeah.
And that might be I tell you, probably first 5 years of my Christian walk, I would pray and Jesus would answer in Bill Johnson's voice, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it was real to me, like, okay, he's the closest guy I've ever met. And then, you know, the more you get to know people, the more they're people. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe, well, Jesus wouldn't do that right there. I don't know what you're up to, but okay, but I still love you. I still love you, even though I'm going to have to deal with all my idolatry. Yeah. You know, just look past it. Just keep looking past it until you see really Jesus as he is.
That's awesome.
And then you just put him on. You know, you just like, okay,
come on.
Everything that I do that falls short of that is an area for adjustment in my life, you know? And like, Jesus did stuff that just blew the religious people away again and again and again and again. So, you know, he wasn't this jacked up, uptight guy. You know, he was hanging out with ladies and there are prostitutes touching him and stuff. And the Pharisees like, what is going on? This guy, if he actually knew who was touching him, he says, yeah. And you didn't even offer to wash my feet. And she's been wiping my feet with her tears. This woman's story is going to be told for the rest of time.
Come on.
You know, and you're like, boom, he just takes this crazy religious twist and straightens it out.
This. Yeah, I'm listening to, you know, Jesus is the target, and I'm wondering, you know, and I'm guilty of this as too, is how many times men have looked to other men, even great men, mm-hmm. even good, you know, God-fearing, awesome men, yep. and look to them as the standard or the influence, and kind of forgot to look past them and say like, oh, like, do I admire Jesus more than insert your favorite guy you love listening to right here? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. ooh, that's challenging. Mm-hmm. On a funnier note, you talked about Arnold Schwarzenegger earlier in the mic, where we're talking about Jesus, and all I can imagine is Jack's Jesus, like a poster of Jack Jesus, like on my wall, going like that. There the training, go. Like this is there what I'm is. Going
there
for.
There it is,
this
right is, there. That's where I'm headed. Jesus, I've seen it. Jesus can do it. Yeah,
so awesome. Good.
Well, I think we milked that cow. Yeah. That was we only got one question, but we went deep. Thanks, guys. This has been fun, and
it's a blast.
Yeah. See you next time.
Thanks for having us.
All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. God bless.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, and show promoter Christian Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families are going to save the world.